Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. This month is Mental Health Awareness Month, so we thought, we made it quite abundantly clear that we put a lot of thought into our mental health, and we think that it's a very important and valuable thing to look into and to ensure that you check up on it, not just this month, but every month. So we wanted to look into the news because the news does definitely affect our mental health and it affects us as people. And we also wanted to look into a few stories that are directly linked to mental health. I wanted to start with this international story that I think that we all know about. But there has been this recent development in the Will and Jada debacle, where they're saying that they're getting divorced. I haven't seen it on any reputable news outlets, but I thought it would still be interesting to talk about because I also watched a small documentary where they talked about their marriage. And in it, they spoke about how Jada never wanted to get married to Will, and how she cried when they moved into a home that he had bought for them, like this $100 billion compound. It's a beautiful home, but she just never wanted to be married. She never wanted to be in this compound. She felt pressured a lot of the times. And she also spoke about how she kind of had to give up on her happiness because before they were married, she was a very successful actress. And she also had begun to star in a band. I can't remember the name of the band, but she spoke about how right when Will and Jaden, their son, had began to film or audition for The Pursuit of Happiness, that her band was supposed to go on tour with Guns N' Roses in Europe, and she had to give up on her dream for the betterment of her children and her husband's career. And she spoke about how it was excruciatingly painful to her. And she also, and Will also spoke about their marriage in the same manner, where he also said that the marriage was excruciatingly painful from the beginning. He also spoke about the point in their marriage where they had their quote unquote entanglement. And he said that it was not one-sided. He actually spoke about it in his book. I'm not sure if the book was released, but it was it was an interview that he had with GQ where they spoke about the things that he's talked about in his book. And he said that there was a point, I think their breaking point was her 40th birthday, where he had decided that he was going to spend about 2 to 3 years compiling different things about Jada and her life, even going like in depth about her family and stuff like that, and turning it into a documentary. And when she had found out about the documentary, it turned into this huge fight, and she called him egotistical and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And it caused a very large argument. And at the time, their children, I think Willow was 10 years old, and she walked into the room crying. And it was just the last thing where before they decided that they wanted to become happier as individuals. But I wanted to get everyone's opinions, one, on their marriage, and two, just on a question that I was thinking about when I was watching the documentary, which is, when is enough enough? When do you decide to let go? Because something that they consistently said when asked about their marriage or asked about why they continue to go on is that they're not quitters. So when is enough enough? And what is your opinion on their marriage?
Okay, so I feel like Will and Jada have been a topic of discussion for a while now. And I just want to I have a lot of points on this. to what you're saying, when is enough enough? And I think both parties would have to reach a breaking point. However, I watched the Red Table Talk. I haven't really watched it in the last year. But when it first started, I watched literally every single episode. And I began to see, like, Jada dealt with a lot of trauma, especially in her childhood, a lot of trauma she went through, and I think that she never healed from that. she's just learning how to heal now.
I forgot to mention that she said that she did not want to get married at the beginning because she had never really seen a conventional monogamous marriage growing up.
Yeah, I heard that. I watched when she said that. I heard when she said that. And I feel as though as, I don't want to say as Black people because that's so like stereotypical, but I feel like, I don't say just people in general, we're not taught how to function in relationships by our parents. Well, most of us aren't taught that, and they weren't taught that. And she also said that her mother pressured her to get married because she was pregnant. So she felt a lot of pressure. Not to say that she didn't love Will, you know, it's just that she was really young. And I feel like as the years went on, she started to get, build up a lot of resentment towards him. Because like you said, she had to give up a lot of her dreams to be what he wanted. And then on his part, he did all these grand things for her, but that's not necessarily what she wanted. She never wanted a big giant house. She never wanted all these grand things that he was trying to give her. And he also talked about that, saying that he didn't understand what she wanted in terms of, he did those things to please himself, but not necessarily to please her. And people like to get upset and say, oh, well, she should accept it because he's doing this, this, that, next. I get that. But at the same time, if I'm asking you for flowers and you buy me a car, yeah, I'm going to like the car, but it's just like, I didn't want the car. I wanted flowers. You know what I'm saying? It's like understanding your partner. And I feel like they're just not, I don't think that they're meant to be anymore. I feel like they probably should have never gotten married because they just don't seem like they're on the same wavelength. They don't seem like they want the same things. And I know in one of her episodes she said, they both said that even if they don't, I can't remember what they said, but basically it was on lines that they would never end their relationship even if they were on the house, on separate sides of the house with different people, because they have such a great friendship, which in I guess I understand. So maybe that's why they don't want to end their marriage. I don't know. So I guess that's my thought on it. I think that they just need to let it go. And they could still be friends, but it seems like they would be happier if they were apart. But hey, I don't necessarily know that because we don't know the ins and outs of their relationship, only what they share on social media. So yeah.
I don't want to say that what you said was one-sided, but I think that you were kind of coming at it from Jada's point of view, because I feel that, I'm not trying to say that what you said was one-sided, but I feel like it was just kind of seeing it from Jada's point of view. I feel that he did love her immensely, and he was trying to show love in the way that he knew to show love. They should have never gotten married for sure. But it's sad to see. I don't even think that they should be friends in different parts of their households, but I did hear that he said that they communicate very well, which is kind of like an oxymoron because they're always yelling and arguing at each other apparently, but he says that when they do sit down and talk, they come to a conclusion. Though I do think that his mental health is declining as well as her mental health is declining, and it's causing resentment on both of their parts. And that's why my question was like, when is enough enough? Because, and it also has a financial aspect to it as well, because by California law, if they are to be divorced, she is entitled to half of his fortune. So I think that's also something that he has in the back of his mind, as selfish as it may be. We're all selfish as human beings, and that is something I would be thinking about as well. But Dudley or Bethany, what's your opinions on it?
If half of everything that I had built for myself was going to be taken, I would probably be in the same boat as Will, because, I mean, when you look at the both of their careers, it's kind of crazy how, you know, they were both heading it off really well in their own separate lanes. And then when they got together, Will kept going and Jada had to take a little bit of a pause, you know? It's hard to reconcile, with the idea that somebody completely changed the trajectory of your life, no matter what the circumstances around it is. So I think, you know, it's been a lot. I think that they thought that they could compromise on enough things that they could make this work, but it's really not working.
I could only speak from what I know. I don't I feel like I have no clue what goes on in those people's marriage, because one day the media saying one thing and then Jada the Rose saying something else. I don't know. I really can't. I can't speak on their marriage because it's so frustrating with all of the information always coming from one source to this source to someone who they know, or, you know, information that really don't come from the person's mouth themselves. And every time I hear Jada or Will speak about it, I hear a couple that have been through, you know, a lot of trials and tribulations, as many other married people do. And according to them, they have found a way to make it work. And so that's the only thing I can really say about it.
And what's y'all's opinion on the Oscars night?
That was a lot.
Will Smith. Will Smith is a different kind of guy, because I mean, let's all be honest right now. Will Smith got up from his seat, walked to the middle of the stage, hopped up, and came with pure evil intentions. And nobody stopped him before, nobody stopped him after. He calmly returned to his seat after doing something that crazy on international TV. It was crazy that it happened, but it's even worse what they tried to do to Will's career because of it.
Okay, like for me, I don't agree with violence, right? But like, if that's how he felt, he wanted to defend his wife, okay, cool. But in my head, I was just like, so Jada Jessica said here, watch this man walk up the stage. Like, I feel
that's
like
what I thought too.
You should know your husband. Like, you should see if he's upset or no, he's gonna do something straight. Like, this girl, watch this woman, watch him walk up them steps and slap this man. And at no point did she say, let me get up and grab my husband. Will, no. And then turn around. What did she say about the slap? She said something
she said
about
that
it.
She said that she didn't think that he should have slapped Chris Rock.
Just like, girl, what are you doing? Like, that is your husband. I mean, you could don't say that to the media. What is wrong with you? Like, you
people were saying that she probably did that. Like, she probably let it happen because she is resenting towards him, and she knew that that would have ruined his career. Like, I'm not saying that she probably knew that he's gonna slap him, but like the aftermath, like not going up there, not trying to calm him down, trying to get him to be quiet after the slap, releasing a statement, like not going out, because she went out like a couple weeks later to Shonda Rhimes' event, and she looked quite fine. So people are like, she's probably living her best life, seeing that his career is failing because she resents the fact that she had to put her career on hold.
But my thing is, right, even if I feel like, okay, yeah, she went through all that. Yeah, she was upset. Yeah, she had to put her life on hold. But like, it took you 20 years. Because it took like in the 20s, right? It took you 20 years to realize that, hey, I want to do acting. I feel like she should have spoke up long time. She should have said, listen, you need to get a nanny or you need to get a something, because I got to go there and I got to do what I got to do. And I feel like, I'm not saying that he shouldn't take some of the blame, but I feel like she's putting a lot of the blame on him and not taking accountability for herself. And I just like, if it was me and that was my husband walking up, dad's gonna be like, excuse me, sir. Hi. Hello. I'm gonna need you to sit down. That's if you didn't want to slap him. If she didn't want him to slap Chris Rock. Now, if you supported his decision and slapping him, then you should have been standing beside him, not saying you wish you didn't slap him to the media. Like, I feel like she needs to stick with her story. Like, it's not making sense to me, at least. Because, yeah, that whole situation just made me mad. And like how they was trying to like stop his whole career, and I was just like, half of y'all know y'all would have done the same thing or probably something worse. So it's just
most
that
of the people in there were worse. There were monsters sitting in there.
So I don't know. And then plus, like, he's done so well to himself. He's never done anything like that before. Like, he's been the perfect person for so long. He make one slip up and y'all trying to, like, ruin his man. Like, that didn't make sense to me. Of course, there should be consequences. But to say cutting him from deals and stopping his movies and stuff, I think that was a bit much. Him getting banned, I think, was enough. Okay. So I know, well, as you guys know, last month we did a series on gender-based violence. And we talked a lot about sexual assault and domestic violence and stuff. So just bringing light to these type of situations. And there were two stories recently in, I think the last two weeks. So apparently there's a father who was on bail. I think he got $7,500 bail for allegedly putting a gun to his daughter's head and forcing her to masturbate and then record it. And he was let out on bail. And then another one is a pastor who was alleged of having unlawful sex with a minor. There isn't much details as to who, at least on official sources, as to who this pastor was and how old the kid was, but it's just instances like this when we really sit down and have to think, like, how we have to protect our children. How is it okay for this pastor to be sleeping with this little girl and you don't even know, one knew, nobody was there, nobody, no, I'm sure someone knew, like, or someone in the church picked up on it, but you're saying, oh, that's your pastor, or you're supposed to be an upstanding citizen of the community. You're supposed to be a man of God, upholding the commandments of the Lord, you know, and you're just out here wilding. And I don't know. Anyone have any thoughts on those two stories? Because it really stresses me out.
Did the stories say that the people knew about it? Because, I mean, sometimes...
No, I'm not saying they knew about it. I'm saying, I'm sure as a... And in the church, I'm pretty sure someone knew, or someone picked up on it.
Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's just, oh, the pastors. I mean, pastors hang out with kids all the time. As weird as it sound.
That shouldn't sound weird, though.
It shouldn't sound weird to say a pastor is hanging out with a child, because I mean, that's where you should feel the safest. But is there any, like, further information about the story?
No, they're just developing. I mean, there's further information on, like, those other sites, like the ones that aren't official. Like, they're the ones that just be all over Facebook. But I didn't want to, you know, bring them here because official sources haven't confirmed nor denied what was being said. So I didn't want to, you know. But I just find it interesting that, like, this man, and then the daddy was there on $7,500 bail. And I'm just like, dude, I feel like this is just a... attitude in this country that doesn't take molestation specifically, or even rape or sexual assault, any type of sexual assault, seriously. We just kind of brush it off like it's normal. And it's not even like just regular behemoths. Like, the people who are making these decisions in the law, like, the law does, it stinks. Like, you could give these people way more time than they actually be getting, but that's what the court system allows, I guess. And it's kind of disheartening seeing that, because more could be done, but there isn't enough being done. The next story that I had was an intake in revenue in our projections, $210 million above projections, the financial secretary said, which is amazing, seeing that we were, like, a lot of dollars, billions of dollars in debt after Dorian and the COVID-19 pandemic. And the story says all revenue categories with the exception of business licenses have seen a significant increase. So that's customs duty, VAT intake, as well as real property tax. So in the first 3 months of the year, the payment arrears was $10 million. And this is what they have gotten so far is 10% higher than they initially expected. So I guess that's great for helping debt and all of that.
I thought you were gonna say like we were up in revenue and like tourism and like
no, that's just like
the not tourism, but like you specified like it's VAT, property tax and customs duty. So the poor man's money.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, with the real
property tax, I can't really feel good about it because it's not like if they had said like revenue is up in all industries, then I'd feel like good. No, because I do feel, but it's literally just taxes they're saying. Like, we're taxing people better, and it's working out for us. That's what they're saying.
This is really sad, isn't it?
Well, with the real.
Shanae's like, I'm so happy. And I was like, no.
I mean, okay, let me say
this. You turned her happy moment into a stock.
I mean, well, you may not like, and none of us may like where it's coming from, but at the end of the day, we pay taxes for things to get done, and we've been a lot of dollars in debt. So, I mean, backtracking. But with the real property tax, I saw another story that was stating that they were going after the people like who have multiple properties and wasn't paying forever. So, I guess that's kind of good because that means they have money to be having so much properties and they intentionally not paying their property taxes, the government, they feel like the government ain't gonna about it. So I guess that's a good one. Like, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's good. I'm happy that we have money, even though it's the poor people. But
why you have to make it so negative, dog?
Because it is.
I just want to look at the positive side. Y'all just like
what? What?
You're keeping the poor people poor, okay? Which is true, but.
And this is affecting my mental health. I thought we were working on mental health today. but I was gonna say that I feel like with seeing like a lot of companies being opened up more and like a lot of companies having a lot more lines, like literally leaving the doors, even like as much as we may not want it to be this way, but the nightlife and the night scene is booming now. And people are enjoying themselves, and that one is bringing up morale in the country, and it's bringing up mental health after being locked down for so long and being under such strict guidelines. And even COVID our numbers of COVID have been pretty low despite certain people saying that we shouldn't have done that. I ain't calling no names, but I'm just happy to see that revenue is flowing in other sectors that weren't mentioned in the article.
I mean, positive. But y'all keep loving Carnival now, guys.
Oh yeah, we are having Carnival now. That is one thing I wanted to say.
But I'm so happy, guys.
People, like 1,000 people get to go on the road. Look at that.
No, I thought it was 500.
I think it's 500.
500.
No, but they
I mean, 1,000 people could show up, but
it's they shortened.
You don't think him is going to show up?
No,
I said 1,000 people are going to show up.
No, but I think the 500 is like the people in the line. I don't think that's going to be the people who get to spectate, if that makes sense. Like, the 500 is restricted to, I think, the carnival groups. At least that would be the only thing that makes logical sense to me, because there's no way you can control how much spectators come to a march. And they shorten the distance significantly. It's from Arawaki to Goodman's Bay. So it's a lot shorter than that whole merry-go-round they used to do, but, you know, it's something, I guess.
Hey, people was falling out that last time, so I guess a shorter distance is better anyways.
Yeah, and I see we having a lot of, like, we starting to have a lot of fets and stuff, and, like, DJs going on tour and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, but remember we had that Orange Economy couple months ago, and so this would be a way to boom that part of the industry. I know the Dexter Dapps concert is back in talks now. And so a lot of producers and people who deal with that kind of stuff, I'm pretty sure they happy, and they probably gonna roll in a bunch of money, because Bahamians, we already don't have a lot of stuff to do. And while we on mental health, that could literally bring down your mental health, because like going to the bowling alley, going to certain clubs, going to church, going to work. I mean, it kind of gets repetitive. And so these are some of the things that kind of like spruce up people's lives and give them some hope, some you know, some reason to look forward to the weekend again. So good for y'all, although I don't participate, but good for y'all.
Yeah, because I remember when COVID hit that, yeah, I was supposed to be my carnival girl, and like, but I still don't know if I go in this year, because child, I still scared of COVID.
So, hey, number down, so I heard.
I won't go and get it. So I don't know why I feel able to attend any of these events, especially the number of people I heard are attending. Because I'm not trying to be around 1,000 people with no mask on, and child, no. I do scared for that. But, you know, maybe next year.
1,000 people going to go without their mask?
Yeah.
Dudley, you ain't see. First of all, I know someone who worked at one of the parties that happened a few weeks ago. There was this party, right? That happened in a very large venue. And people said that the people there was in the thousands. Like, that's how many people was there. Jam-packed. No mask. Nothing, just drinking, having a jolly good time.
How do these things with thousands of people like just go so quietly for so long? Does everybody just agree afterwards? Like, all right, we had a pretty good time today. Let's keep that to ourselves.
That's a whole
new generation.
Yeah, but when I heard that, I was just like, and then if you see the pictures, like you'd be like, wow, there's really a lot of people. So, and it's a very large venue, so like it's very easily that number of people can fit in there, and it wouldn't even, you know, it wouldn't be cramped. Like if you're going in a little square with a square Awaki or what else is a small venue, they try jam you up. So it was a lot of space, so I could see how that number of people could fit, you know. But child, I don't know if that's for me this year.
Speaking of mask, right, there has been talks that we're considering ending the mask mandate by June or July, because there's a few organizations, specifically American ones, that are pushing for us to do so, because there are certain states that do not require mask anymore. It's more of a personal choice or like a business choice. So what's your opinions on that? Should we?
Why do they care that we want to wear masks over here?
Because it's more like when people come to visit, like in tourism, they will be booked or fined or whatever. I mean, they don't be, because I always see tourists walking around without masks, but they feel more comfortable like they're coming to a country where there is no mandate to wear a mask. So if you choose to wear a mask or you don't choose to wear a mask, it's up to you.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the price you pay to come here. You gotta sacrifice. I mean, it ain't like you gotta do it everywhere. I'm pretty sure the bubble that they have over Paradise Island, I'm sure you don't have to wear a mask around there.
I mean, they don't have to wear masks in hotels. That was one of the recent changes that they made to the COVID protocols.
I would be on this one, like, okay. If I go to America, okay, the mandate to go to America is you have to be vaccinated. How I
they may be ending that soon as well, though.
No, I know they may be ending it, but I'm just using this as an example as of right now. So how I can get mad and tell America they must end their mandate because I won't travel and I'm not vaccinated. If you come into my country and my country is simply asking for you to wear a mask if you go into a business establishment, then I mean, you gotta wear a mask, eh? But even if they remove the mandate, businesses still have the right to say, hey, you can't come into my store unless you have a mask on. That's their right as a business. So, I mean, I don't see the big deal as to why, if we feel we're not ready to remove the mask mandate as yet, I don't see why we should feel pressured into doing so.
I understand that. I definitely do. But I also understand where they're coming from. They're not forcing anyone to do it, because at the end of the day, we're our own country, but it's more about us being a part of these different groups like CARICOM or what the next one name, the United Nations, where they try to follow a lot of the same worldwide mandates. So if you're a part of one of those institutions or organizations and they encourage you to do a certain thing, like how they try to encourage us to fix the quality of our prisons because they try to to have a certain standard for the countries a part of those.
Well, that may be true, and I understand your perspective on that, but I think I still side with Delhi. That this is low-key bullying, and that's something that the UN and those groups, they kind of do to little countries, because we never get to make the decisions anyway. But with the mass, I think it could be a power move for our country as well, seeing that a lot of people around the world are tired of wearing masks, especially in America. There's like a whole, you know, I don't know. It's a whole big discussion, but a lot of people do, a lot of people don't. And I think given the people options, whether or not they should, or, well, given them options, whether they need to wear it or don't wear it, it's something, I mean, it's doable. If you don't want to be around people, if you don't want to catch COVID and you still, you know, have your concerns about it, wear your mask, follow the protocols. I think the people who aren't wearing masks, they would still have to follow protocols. So it's not like they're throwing away the whole safety aspect of it, but it's just that one aspect, that one thing. So I feel as if we should follow it, because I mean, who don't care, never cared, and who cares will always care. I don't know if that makes sense, but that made sense to me.
I understand. I completely get that.
Okay, so guys, everybody gave their particular stories for this week, but I think a story that has a lot of people, you know, in arms is that story about the guy who got shot while he was working at the gas station. And according to an eyewitness story, the inmate was identified as Timothy Saunders, and he was serving 18 years for his role in a triple shooting that left 3 people dead in July 2011. Now in 2024, he would have been released because he would have served his 18 years. And the former government had this scheme going, whereas they give those inmates who were just about to be released, you know, some sort of income, job, setting them up really to re-enter the world, re-enter society. And so unfortunately he got shot. And I found that it was very interesting when the story first broke. You know, people were outraged and they were very concerned and they had compassion, sympathy. But when this information was released, the feelings kind of divided. And so my first question to you guys would be, as citizens, should there be an outrage of crimes such as this, especially when the amount of alleged gang-related deaths recently have been so, well, it's increased, let's be honest. So what's your opinions on that?
Okay, well, me, personally, I feel like no matter what someone did, their life is still important. He was paying his debt to society by going to prison and serving his time. We don't know what could have happened during those 18 years if he had changed. So I think it's kind of unfair to judge a book by its cover. And I feel like a lot of times people judge people, well, criminals or former criminals or people who just have a record in general. I wouldn't say it's justified, but I feel like we all make mistakes, and sometimes you got to give people a second chance. We don't know that man from a can of paint. So I feel like it's kind of unfair to sit here and judge him and say, oh, he deserved to die just because he was a criminal, right? Or he committed a crime. So I feel like it should be outrage for any crime, because the whole point is to try to get to decrease crime on the whole, regardless of who it affected or who it was done against. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm making sense, but that's just my thoughts on it.
I think you have hit the nail on the head. This isn't really an individual cause of concern. This is, anybody could have been caught from that bullet to that man's body. anybody. This is a national crisis that we are going through, I believe. And it should be whether or not this person just went into prison, whether they've been in prison for 20 years, whatever the case may be, that's still somebody's brother, sister, father. That's still a Bahamian. That's still a human being being brought to his death by another human being. And that's something that we have been crying to the government to, you know, kind of get a handle on. But the thing is, this is a nationwide issue that we all have to solve. We all have to put in that effort to kind of assuage this kind of stuff from happening. And it's been happening so much lately. Like, talk about mental health. It's like, because for me, I work right in that Palmdale area. Now, I was close enough to hear the shots. So I know for those people who were working with that guy, imagine how they felt, how they were impacted. Like, I think acts like that, it has ripple effects. And now those people, we don't even know how they are coping with experiencing that sort of egregious acts towards another human. Like, talk about the mental health of those people. But Anise, you have any, you know, insight on it?
You pretty much said what I was gonna say. It is an issue that we have over here. It was definitely a tit for tat. Somebody was holding on to a grudge for whatever he had done to cause him to be in jail, or whatever he had done before he was in jail, because you said, I think he was in jail for like more than 10 years or so. And I think that it's a good program. It's a great program, but a lot of people don't even know about the program. And so I heard a few people say that maybe there was a jealousy towards him, feeling that maybe he was released early, or maybe he should not have been someone who was allowed to be a part of that program, you know? So I think we just need to become more aware of the different programs that they're doing for these individuals. And we have to be a lot more protective of them, because I understand that a gas station maybe have been the only place where they would have allowed him to work, maybe because it has less security issues dealing with a current member of a jail. But I think he should have been in a place that was a lot more secure, even if it had been like a junkyard or somewhere with gates where there could have been police there on patrol, ensuring not only that he didn't get away, but his own safety. Because that is something that we have been dealing with a lot nowadays. And a lot of people, unfortunately, as soon as they're released from jail, they're not even given the chance to be better people. One, because people only see them as the individual who went into jail. And two, because a lot of people think themselves to be God, and they think that they are the ones who are supposed to give the retribution for whatever that individual may have been in jail for, instead of just allowing the public justice system to do its job.
Yeah, Anise, I think you touched on another great point, actually, talking about the necessity of that scheme. You know, although we could say a lot of things about the FUM administration, I think that I didn't even know about the scheme until this story, unfortunately, but it is something that is necessary, especially for those people re-entering society and the working force. And I know in that same story, they said that now they're working on ways to maneuver these, because there was about 10 other inmates who were serving time for murders as well. And so now they've kind of put that on a temporary hold, so they can find other jobs to kind of place them in. But I'm so sorry that, you know, it took someone dying for them to kind of realize that, hey, this may, you know, reap potential dangerous to these particular people. I don't know. I think we need to do better as a country, honestly. And I say that because I know that there are people who know who the person who killed this guy was. And I think that same day, someone else got shot as well. I'm not sure if those two murders were connected. Okay, and last but not least, I don't want us to leave you guys with, you know, so much stories just weighing in on your mental health. And yesterday, I don't know if a lot of you were aware, but there was a seminar based on mental health care. And it was run by Selena Gomez's company, and their theme was Your Words Matter. And so during the seminar, they gave a lot of information as to, you know, ways that you can cope and kind of relieve your thoughts, especially when you get overwhelmed or anxious. And so before we leave, I just wanted to share some with you guys. And one of the things that I think this would be more so for men, because I think in the country, and I think worldwide, even when we look at, you know, last week we spoke about the case with Johnny Depp. A lot of times we don't allow ourselves permission to feel. And so that is one of the things that I took away from the seminar. Just, you know, kind of understanding how you feel and addressing how you feel, and basically letting other people know, people who you feel comfortable with, just letting them know how you feel and allowing yourself grace when you, you know, kind of realize that, hey, I may be feeling depressed today, or I'm not feeling at my best, or, you know, there's so much things going on in my life. I've been so consumed by social media, all the stories, all the deaths, all the sexual assault cases. And, you know, a lot of times we may not even know how it is affecting us, but sometimes you just need to take a break. And I'm not saying take a break from us, just joking, but sometimes you just need to take a break from social media, from society, and just sit down with your thoughts. And when it gets too exhausting and too burdensome, I think you should seek help, further help, you know, from a professional or an adult or someone you trust. A next thing I got from this seminar was to show empathy, have compassion to other people, and have compassion for other people, have compassion for yourself. And another one of, I'll leave you with three coping mechanisms that was given during the seminar, and we will leave it there. And hopefully you guys have a great Saturday, because we all deserve it. We had a long week, I'm pretty sure, and so now it's time to sit back and relax. So first of all, let's limit time on social media and, you know, kind of enjoy simple things. Read a book, you know, play some board games with your family, do exercises, go out on the beach, you know, just enjoy the simple things in life that we so often take for granted. The second thing is being aware and comfortable with realizing things affect you. Like I said, a lot of times we see things affecting us and we think that, okay, we have to be strong. We have, everybody else is just consuming social media and nothing is happening to them. We aren't all the same and we can't all take on the same load. So just be graceful to yourself, allow yourself time to rest, allow yourself time to be aware and comfortable with what you can handle. the last thing is social symmetry. And I thought this one was really, really insightful, because a lot of times we look on social media and we see these people with perfect lives. But let's just remember, nobody puts the parts of their lives on social media. Everybody goes through the same things. What could be going on in your life could be going on in Will Smith's life, in Johnny Depp's life. So just because you see a glamorous life does not make them any more or less human than you. Okay, guys, well, that is all we have for you today. I hope that you guys take care of your mental health, because that is very important. But always remember, you can follow us on social media platforms at Candid242. Leave us any messages, and we'll get to you as best as we can. Thank you so much for joining Candid, where we have real discussions with real people. Keep it real, Bahamas.